Ruth chapter 1 is we're going to continue our study, Bitter or Better. The theme of this study is Give Me Your Best. Would you stand as we look into God's Word? Just to give you a little background, this began in the city of Bethlehem. And a family moved from Bethlehem because there had been a famine. And now this family, during the course of 10 years, Elimelech was the head of that family. Elimelech died. Naomi is the wife of that family, and she's still alive. And the sons of that family, Mahlon and Chilion, had also passed away. And she's been gone for about 10 years, and she comes back with one of her daughter-in-laws that her sons had married while in the land of Moab, and that daughter-in-law is Ruth. Now, Ruth and Naomi, the mother of the family, arrive back in Bethlehem. And this is where we pick up as they arrive in Bethlehem. Verse 19. Now the two of them, that's Naomi and Ruth, the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. And the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please, let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she had happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence. As we look into your word, Lord, I pray that you will convict of sin, that you will draw us near to you, that through this study of your word, we may be made better servants for your honor, for your glory. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we pray your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today, the challenge of this message is going to be, where are you going to end up? You can be bitter or you can be better, but you cannot be bitter and better. All right? And so the choice is yours. And we begin with this lady called Naomi. And Naomi had an attitude of bitterness. Now understand, this lady had a reason to be bitter. I'm not throwing stones at her. In verse 19, as Naomi arrives back home to her town, hometown of Bethlehem, the people of that city are excited to see Naomi. She's been gone for 10 years. And at first sight, they say, "Wow, it's good to see you. We're glad you're here." But they immediately notice something's wrong. This isn't the same Naomi that left Bethlehem some 10 years ago. As a matter of fact, they asked the question, "Is this Naomi? Naomi?" And to put it in our language, they're saying, "Naomi, is this really you? Have you ever, do you ever see old classmates?" You know, some people age better than others, don't they? I don't notice it in myself. I'm sure others do, but there are often times that I've had people come up to me and say, "Hi, Doug, it's so good to see you." And I look at them like, "I've never met you." And they have to tell me who they are, you know? Well, Naomi has changed through the course of time in the last 10 years. She's changed to that point where people almost couldn't recognize her. They're saying, "Is this really the same Naomi that left 10 years ago?" You see, Naomi's name literally means delight. When Naomi left Bethlehem, everything about her says, delightful. Joy, happiness, goodness. I mean, she was just one of those ladies that you were glad to be in the presence of. Always looked on the bright side, always blessed, always felt good. But now she comes back and they say, is this really the same Naomi who left 10 years ago? And Naomi says, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me. Call me Mara, which means bitter. What a name. What a name to go from delight or my delight to bitter. And Naomi's literally saying, I'm just bitter now. And the reason she was bitter, she wasn't bitter at people. She was bitter toward God. As she gave all the blame of her circumstances toward God. You see, she spills her soul before the people when they ask, I can't believe this is you. And Naomi's like, you better believe it. It is me. And it's God's fault. As a matter of fact, the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me, she said. And that word bitterly, it means to embitter. It means to make bitter. It means that God acted against her so that she would be bitter. And she's telling everybody about it. She's saying, God has done this to me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me back empty. The Lord has testified against me. He's afflicted me. God has brought me to this point. And you know the truth is about Naomi's point. She is feeling abused by God. Have you ever felt abused by God? Have you? If you hadn't, you someday will. Okay? And that's where she is. Why has God done all this to me? It's kind of her mindset. Why did I have to lose my husband? Why did I have to lose both of my sons? After all, isn't God in control? Isn't He on the throne? It must be God's will because all this has happened to me. And she was one bitter lady. You know, we could speak about how wrong Naomi was. And we could say, well, Naomi just needs to trust in God. Naomi just needs to know that God loves her. Naomi just needs to pull herself up by her bootstraps. And she's kind of in a position where she doesn't have that ability at this point. You know? You ever been there? Where you had all the right answers and you knew God was God, but you just can't do anything about the way you feel, that you're in the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, and you can't seem to do anything about it. And that's where Naomi was at that point. She had all the right answers. She knew God was on the throne, but everything in life had just beaten her literally to a pulp. And as I thought about that, I thought, how many people today are bitter toward God? There are people here, no doubt, that have reason in their mind to be bitter. Why did God let this happen to me? Why doesn't God do something about where I am? And you've been that way so long and you're just at the point that you can't seem to pull yourself up even though you have all the right answers. What do you do in that situation? Well, let me just share with you a couple of things that will help make that situation better. I do not stand before you and say, like some hypocrite, oh, you know, it's... get over it. Sometimes that doesn't cut it. But I'll tell you what does help. What does help is people who are willing to be better and to bring better into your life. You see, there was a man opening in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, there was a man, a relative of Naomi's husband, a great man of wealth. His name was Elimelech. I'm sorry. His name was Boaz. Says he was a man of great wealth. Literally, the Hebrew word means a man of valor. And it carries the idea of not only being rich, but it carries the idea of being a war hero, being a man of political power, being a man of standing. He was a man's man, this man Boaz. And God, what I want to point out to you, God had created this great man and placed him exactly where he was so that he could enjoy his riches and retire in luxury. No. God made this man who he was so that he could enjoy his life and live it to himself. No. God made this mighty man, this man of men, if you will, God made him and put him where he was so that he could rescue a family that was absolutely beaten down. He was a man that had the power to do something. And we're going to get into that a little later on in messages to come. But I want you to see how God made this man and he set him in just the right place at just the right time to come to the rescue of this poor family. I'm reminded of Queen Esther in the Old Testament, that when the king had made a decree, and this decree that was that all the Hebrews or the Israelites be killed in the land. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, come to her who was the queen at this time, and he said, listen, you've got to help. You've got to help us. And by the way, God, you don't know, but that God has placed you here for such a time as this. You see, we've got to back up and we've got to go back to caring about people again. We've got to realize that if we're not in the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, that if we're not the ones that are bitter, that if we're not the ones that are beaten up, our time may be coming someday. As a matter of fact, it probably is coming someday. But today, God has blessed me, so I have the power and the opportunity to infiltrate the lives of those who are bitter and share the love of Jesus Christ. We've got to go back to caring about people again. You see, we're living in an age where it's just about, let's come to church, I've done my part, don't have to think about it again, let's go and forget it. No! No, there are hurting people out there. And you may say, Brother Doug, nobody's ever done anything for me. Don't let that be excuse. I'll tell you, I'll prove that to be wrong. Jesus Christ died for you up on the cross of Calvary. Listen, most people do not realize the power that they have. You may not can give money. You may not can, can lift them up financially. But I'll tell you what all of us can do. We can all minister to them. We can all love them. You know what I've discovered as a pastor? I've discovered there are so many situations that I cannot fix. As a matter of fact, most of them I cannot fix. People come to me for counseling. They share their troubles with me and and I'm like, whoop, this is above me. More than I can fix. But you know what I can do? I can get on my knees with those people and I can have prayer to the God who can fix the mess that their life is in. You see? I can also just be there and listen. I can also just say, listen, I love you. And I can just share Christian fellowship with them because there are a lot of people that they just need to see the love of God flowing through other people to help them out of the pit that they're in. You have the power to make a difference. This week I have a challenge for you. Are you ready for homework? Oh, come on. Are you ready for homework? Oh, we can do it. Amen. The longer you withhold the amen, the longer we're in this hot building, okay? Are we ready for homework? Yes, amen. Here's the challenge. Look for somebody to love this week. Amen. Very simple. Look for somebody to love, right? If you're a child of God, the love of God dwells within you. Look for somebody to love. Look for that person that's hurting. The person that's downtrodden. Yes, even the person who's bitter and who would say, God has done this to me. And show them the love of your great God. But Brother Doug, they don't appreciate it. It don't matter. Amen. It doesn't matter. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for the God that you serve. Amen. But Brother Doug, they've never done anything for me. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. You know? The challenge. Find somebody to love this week. And you know what? I've also figured out that if I find somebody to love, it gets my eyes off me and it makes me feel much better. Amen. All right, that's the first thing in dealing with bitter people that can happen is people who care. Men and women of power and opportunity to make a difference. Then we go on. There was a woman of potential. Oh, I love Ruth. Man, this woman was not going to stay where she was. Now, if you're bitter today, I want to share this with you. You can't stay there. Oh, I guess you can, but you do have to be willing to help yourself. Okay? See, this Ruth, you look at here, Ruth has lost a husband. She's gone through the hardship also. Now she's in a land that's not her own, in among a people that's not her people. Oh, but you know what she says? She gets up in the morning and says, listen, Naomi, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go work in the fields today. And you know what? This wasn't a normal job. According to the law of Moses, the Hebrews were supposed to leave the grain on the outside and the ends of the field for the widows and the poor people to come and help themselves. Listen, that was God's welfare system.
That's right?
Right? And welfare is never intended to be to cause people to sit at home and to do nothing. Okay, that's not welfare. But people have to help themselves. And that's what Naomi's doing. She's saying, I'm not going to sit here and feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to sit here and do nothing. I'm going to rise above it. And she asks the permission from her mother-in-law, can I go out and reap the grain? And I think about that, and I think about the times I've been blue and I've been sad and maybe even bitter. You know what I'm good at? I'm good at sitting down and feeling sorry for myself. How many of you ever done that? Oh, they didn't treat me right. Oh, I deserve better than that. Oh, Beth didn't listen to me. Oh, I told her I didn't like that. And we go on, you know, and you just sell up. How many of you saw the baby on the bulletin today? When I could, Brother Michael did a great job. I said, that's me. Sometimes that is me. As I sit there and I just want to stay where I am and leave me alone and I'm so abused. No, listen. You may have every reason to be bitter. You may have every reason to be angry. You may have every reason, you know, to be sour. But you don't have a reason to stay there. Okay? You got to be willing to get up and let God do something in your life. And that's what Ruth did. She lost a husband. She went through trouble. She said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do because I don't want to live here. And that's the challenge, the second challenge. You reckon ready for the second challenge this week? Second challenge this week. Pick yourself up. Pick yourself up. People can minister to you all day long, but until you decide that I'm not going to live here, nothing's going to change.
Amen.
Right? And I'm not scolding you. Listen, I don't pretend to know what you've been through. I can only relate to you what I've been through. And there's been times in my life I've been low. Jed Clampett used to say, lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. You know, I've been there. But I've also discovered, if I'm going to get out of that rut, I'm going to have to make up my own mind. I'm not living here anymore.
Amen.
See, that's basically what Ruth did. That's what Ruth did. There were people that could make a difference, and there was Ruth, who had great potential just because she wasn't going to live where she was. And then finally, the great God of providence. I love this last part. Verse 3 says, she happened to come to the field belonging to Boaz. That word happened is not the Hebrew word like we would think happened. We think, well, it was just by coincidence that she went to Boaz's field. That word does not mean coincidence. It means to cause to happen. It means that there was somebody that caused her to go to this particular field at this particular time. Guess who that somebody was? It was God. Listen, I love knowing that God is still on His throne.
Amen.
Even when I'm hurting, God is on His throne. Even when I don't know what to do from here, God is still on His throne. Even when I'm bitter, God is still on His throne. Ruth does not have a clue. Boaz does not have a clue. But God is leading them both to save this dear family. Spoiler alert. God saves this family in a big way. Ruth and Boaz get married. I shared this with you 2 weeks ago, right? But Ruth and Boaz get married. They have a son who has a son who is King David's father, who has King David. And then after this, the line of Jesus. Do you see God working? Isn't it cool? You may be in the lowest of the low, but I promise you this, God has a plan for tomorrow. And He's working that plan. Don't give up. Don't quit. Give God your best. No matter where you are. If you're ministering to somebody, the theme of these messages, give Him your best. That's all He wants. If you're going through bitterness and heartbreak and tough times, listen, folks, I know it hurts. I know. And I know I probably don't understand what you've been through. But I just challenge you to this one. Give God your best. Even when it hurts. It's amazing how God can take the most hopeless, the most helpless, and the most messed up circumstances in our lives and bring great blessing. I want to encourage you today. You may be one of the bitter people, and I'm not saying, I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm really not. Because we all get there. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. God has a bigger plan. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friend, I want to tell you something. Don't go through this life alone, please. Hell is real. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And you will spend eternity in one of those two places based upon the decision of what you will do with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ loved you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin. He gave it all. He gave His best so that you could have eternal life. Well, Brother Doug, I don't get it. Why did Jesus have to die for me? Because you're a sinner. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's you, that's me, that's all of us. We've all sinned. But the good news is that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You're neither too good nor too bad to be saved here today. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. You may be here today and you're at that stage of life. You've been battling bitterness. You just need to come to this altar and lay that bitterness before the throne of God and say, God, help me. What do you do? I can tell you all day long, don't be bitter. Don't be sullied. Don't be sour. I can tell you, and it does no good. You know what you've got to have? You've got to have divine help. Help from God. And the place to get that help is on your knees. God can take the bitterness. He can fill you with love. But He won't as long as you avoid Him. You may be here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of Victory. We'll receive you however we can scripturally receive you. We'll receive you by baptism. We'll receive you by statement that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior and that you have been scripturally baptized. We welcome you to the Victory family. But if you join Victory, listen, there's more to church membership than just it's not a sign, it's an opportunity. Amen. Right? Amen. Opportunity to serve. Whatever your spiritual need is, don't walk away without Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word and for the reminder. There is bitterness. And Lord, sometimes we can't help it. We become bitter. Circumstances of life get tough and we become overwhelmed. And Lord, it does. It hurts us. And so today, Lord, You knowing every need, every heart, every life present, I pray that You'd replace the bitterness with love. That You'd lift up the downtrodden. That You will provide, Lord, what's needed.
to lift those in despair out of that dreaded pit and in the joy and the delight of your love. Now in this invitation, make us responsive to your leading. In Jesus' name I pray.